I'm worthy of change, same as you are. Mirror, mirror, don't you judge me, don't you dare. Who knew I was capable of loving? Who was there staring back? I said staring back at me. Ooh, it's been a long time coming. I love my shell, I love my scars, enough for the both of us. I love myself, no I don't need help. I needed
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Transitional Wisdom Podcast, where Nash and I discuss all things trans and queer-related from a variety of different perspectives. Today we are going to be discussing... Yeah, do you want to introduce today's topic?
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about my experience with transitioning in a relationship. So I was with my partner for like a year and a half before I actually came out to her. And then, so, like, we were in a lesbian couple, I guess. it's, like, so weird. But we were, yeah, we were in, like, a lesbian relationship before. And then, after about a year and a half, I came out to her. And she was, like, super supportive and responded with, like, I was just waiting for you to tell me. Like, I didn't know how long this was going to take.
Okay.
So that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there was, like, about 6 or 7 months in between me coming out to her and then me actually starting hormones and transitioning. So I think in between there, it was really tough, like, because I was just, like, really struggling waiting to start. So it was a pretty hard time for a while, but, like, not because of anything, like, with us necessarily. It was just hard in general to have to, like, wait and...
Mm-hmm.
Live that way. But then once I started transitioning, you know, like, I think Blair had done her own research on, like, what to expect and stuff like that, and we would, you know, like, I would fill her in on, like, therapy sessions if there was anything important to share. Then when I did start transitioning, you know, I made it a point to, like, anything that I was told to expect or
mm-hmm.
any of that, I would make sure to, like, relay that information to her. Or I also gave her, like, permission to, if she wanted to, like, meet with my doctor, which we actually did. Like, we sat down with the hormone doctor one time, and she, like, asked some questions that she had, and
mm-hmm.
he gave her some information that he thought that she should know and stuff like that. So I think, like, the biggest thing that I learned, like, throughout the process that worked for us was, like, communication. Just really... Mm-hmm. communicating about, like, you know, if there was days that I felt like, because especially in the beginning, especially for the first year when my dose was changing often and my hormones were kind of up and down, it was super important to, like, make her aware of that and to let her know, like, this is how I'm feeling, this is what's going on.
Yeah, so, like, the check-ins and the communication, like, especially in the early parts, were key.
Yeah, to, you know... you don't need to overshare anything. You don't need to mm-hmm. say everything that's on your mind. But I felt that it was, like, really beneficial to let her know, like, if I was feeling off one day, like, if my mood was not typical or normal, whatever,
mm-hmm.
To just, like, let her in on that, because it allowed her to understand that, like, maybe, and, you know, I don't like to use the hormones as, like, an excuse, but to also give credit, like, some things are out of character for us. Like, when we're transitioning and taking these hormones and our bodies are adapting to that, there are things that are uncharacteristic of us. And so, like, I found that something that was uncharacteristic for me was being a little bit more, like, impatient or getting annoyed more, like, easily.
Mm-hmm.
And then also having, like, kind of, like, these intense mood swings. Like, I'd be fine one minute and then I'd be, you know, triggered the next minute and be really set off. So to sort of just, like, let Blair know that those things were possible, or that, like, I was feeling a certain way, allowed her to, you know, either, like, take a step back, maybe like leave the house for a little bit, or suggest that I leave the house, or, mm-hmm. you know, like, hey, go for a walk or go do this, whatever. So to just understand those parts of like what was happening was really, really helpful for us, because it also, I think that it also alleviated like, or stopped fights from potentially happening, because she was able to understand like, okay, he's not just being an asshole. Like, he's mm-hmm. not feeling good today. So that was helpful. And then other things like, you know, I didn't actively feel dysphoric every day, but at the same time I did. Like, my dysphoria was just like so overwhelming that like my general state of being was like that? Dysphoric. Mm-hmm. So like there would be times when like I was more comfortable with like being touched or not being touched. And I mm-hmm. think just like letting her know, hey, I don't feel so good about myself today, like also took away the ability to have like a situation of like me saying, don't touch me,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, and so, cause I know that even if she did understand those things, it still can be jarring to have someone tell you like, hey, please don't touch me.
Absolutely.
I think that like, no matter what, that kind of feels like a denial or a rejection, mm-hmm. even if you understand where it's coming from. So those things were good. And just like, for me, just being honest about like where things were coming from and trying not to blame other people or blame her, like that was really necessary, because like I think it's really easy to, like, with all these hormones and everything, I know for me, like, it was very easy for me to like lose sight of who I was or like how I acted, mm-hmm. and to also not really understand. Like, I used to be a person who was like really, really, really extroverted. I always wanted to be around people. I always wanted to be in social situations. I loved talking to strangers and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that slowly changed for me, where I became more uncomfortable talking to strangers, or I didn't want to have like I didn't want to have like basic conversations or small talk. And to just, for me to acknowledge that, but then also share that with Blair, you know, like, I used to be the one that didn't want to go to like big, I used to be the one that loved to go to like big gatherings, whereas mm-hmm. Blair maybe wasn't as big on the big gatherings and stuff. And then I saw myself like that changed, where like big gatherings kind of became a source of like anxiety for me. Like, I didn't want to be around a lot of strangers. And so to like let her know that those were things that were coming up for me, like, allowed us to figure out ways to work around them or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So was that just the early part of your transition, or is that still now?
It came on later. It was like, okay. I would say it probably started like later into like my first year on hormones, and mm-hmm. then has kind of gone from there. So it wasn't something that happened right away. I just think that like, I don't know, like, it makes me understand cis men a little more, because like, I feel like this is how a lot of cis men feel, even if they're not aware of it. Like, I think that, like, I, at least the people in my life, like the people I know more intimately, like cis men, like, you know, I know like my dad doesn't necessarily love to be around big groups of strangers. He would prefer to be in a big group of people he knew, mm-hmm. and he felt comfortable with,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. So I think that, I don't know, I wonder if it's just a typical trait of like some cis men, like, not everybody of course, but maybe mm-hmm. it's just a more typical cis man thing. But, you know, stuff like that, or like certain things I don't like doing by myself, and that changed. Like, the types of things I didn't like doing by myself changed.
Okay.
So like making sure to like keep Blair in the loop on those things, because, you know, when you're expecting your partner, or like when your partner was one way for, you know, like 2 years, and then they start to change, and there are like these little things that just seem like weird to change,
mm-hmm.
it's good to know where they're coming from, and that it's not just like, I don't know, like a problem. It's just like that's how things are changing, and that's okay. I think that was really helpful. And then like also, something that was really important to me, which I think I've touched on briefly before, is like all of the decisions I made in regards to my transition, I made them before talking to Blair about them.
Okay, so, I was going to ask, like, how did you decide, like, for, you mean, like, further surgeries or?
Yeah, well, okay. for the hormones first, mm-hmm. like, you know, I sat with my feelings about wanting to transition. I sat with them until there was a point where I was like, you know, I was like 99% certain that's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then I told Blair, this is how I'm feeling, whatever, and like asked her for her thoughts. But like her thoughts were more of like, I'm asking for your thoughts because I care about you, but like your thoughts are, I'm not going to allow those to change anything for me.
Yes.
You
approached it like, this is kind of the decision that I've already made for myself. Like,
yes,
you're allowed to ask questions, but it's not going to affect that overall decision.
Right. I mean, I didn't outright say that to her, but in my head, that's what I knew for myself. And so mm-hmm. it was more of like, how do you feel? And how, and like, then whatever you're feeling, like, let's see how we can work mm-hmm. with that. But not like, if your feelings are not good ones, I'm going to change anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. So I did that with like everything, my hormones. And then, you know, even with top surgery, like I said to her, like, I want to have top surgery. This is the surgeon I'm going to go to. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. And then everything from there on out has been like that. You know, all of the surgeries have been my decision. And then I've talked to her about them. I always keep her in the loop, but I allow myself to like get to that point first.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, when it came to phalloplasty, like she knew I was thinking about it, but we didn't have a full on conversation about it until after I had my consult and I had firmly decided that that's what I wanted to do, because I felt like it was really important for me to just be the one that was deciding everything first, because if I was single, that's how it would have been. I would mm-hmm. have been deciding it all on my own and not consulting anybody. And so I wanted to make sure, because these decisions are really big decisions,
mm-hmm.
even if they are, you know, the quote right decision for somebody, or the necessary decision, they're still huge decisions. So mm-hmm. like for me to think of making those decisions and then having anything be based on another person didn't feel good, because while I felt, you know, confident in our relationship, there was always the like, what if we weren't together?
Mm-hmm.
Is this still right for me? And so I wanted to make sure I was being like really true to myself, which is something my whole life I never did. I never prioritized my own feelings, and I never like gave myself enough credit to make a decision without somebody else, whether it was a partner, whether it was like a family member,
mm-hmm.
you know, my parents, whatever. So this very much like my overall transition was very much the first time I 100% took control for myself. So that included like the surgery stuff or any major decisions. So like I said, with Fallow, like I didn't talk to her about it until after I actually decided like, I'm going to go through with this.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the only things that I was like really willing to, have a discussion on or like figure out together was more of like, are you comfortable being my caretaker?
Mm-hmm.
And if not, we need like, then we have to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the only thing I was really willing to allow be like a question or a discussion. Like the surgery itself was not really a discussion beyond kind of like, what are your thoughts between meta versus fallow? Like
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And that was more of for me to just have a conversation so I could also like understand things.
And kind of also have another, you know, someone that obviously loves you, but also hear your thoughts out loud.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it definitely, I think, always helps to like mm-hmm. think about things out loud with another person.
Yeah. Cause I definitely process like externally, like I process by like talking about things. So I wanted to make sure that I was like really thinking it through.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, like beyond that, there wasn't a whole conversation of like, are you sure this is right for you? Are you sure you want to do this? There was none of that. It was mm-hmm. very much like, okay, what do you like, kind of like, what do you need from me? Or what do you want me to do? Or that sort of thing. And, you know, even now, like with, you know, after having all the complications I had and everything, like trying to figure out, do I want to move forward having like testicular implants put in, or do I want to just hold off till later?
Mm-hmm.
Even that conversation has all been like internal for me. Like I've had that conversation with myself, and I've only brought it to Blair in terms of like what do you think infection-wise? Like, do you think this is... Do you think I need to consider infections before I move forward with this kind of thing? So it was more of, like, again, processing externally, like, what do you think based on what already has happened? Mm-hmm. The same conversation I would have with my doctor, basically.
Yeah.
So I've really, like, allowed it to be my own choices and everything. And I think that's really important because...
Absolutely. You
know, with all this stuff, like, with all the transitioning stuff, I think that it's really easy to allow people to influence our decisions or whatever, even like without realizing. And when we're making them, it's just such a huge decision. Even just starting hormones is a huge decision because while yes, you can choose to stop taking them and some things will go back to how they were, it's a pretty permanent like thing. Mm-hmm. Your voice is not going to go back, you know, whatever facial hair you have is going to continue that way. It's gonna stay. So I just found that to be really important. Like the two things I think that have been most important for me are the communication and then also just deciding things for myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's allowed like my relationship to get stronger because like she has seen the confidence I have in making these decisions, and so she's like,
There's a trust there. Like, yeah, you know, it's your body. You know what, you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's also kind of maybe like taken like the pressure off of her?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like she doesn't necessarily have to feel like she has to take care of you or help you in that.
Yes.
In that way.
Yes.
Like you guys can focus on other things. That's not just your trans identity.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, while a lot of our conversations are trans related, like, that's not what our relationship is based off of. And I wanted to make sure that that was also the case, that like our relationship was not based off of like my transition or anything, because, you know, at some point that comes, like the transition comes to an end in a sense. Like, you know, after you're finished with however many surgeries that you decide you want for yourself, it eventually, like the transition eventually kind of ends. Like you're just on hormones for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at some point that's kind of that chapter is over, and I didn't want our relationship to be based around it, because then when that chapter's over, then what?
Mm-hmm.
You have to kind of like start over trying to rebuild this relationship. So you know, even in this last year and a half with all my complications, like we still tried to like find ways to have our relationship exist without those things. Mm-hmm. So whether it was like movies in the hospital together, or whether it was like board games in the hospital together, or board games on the couch, like, you know, just having things that were going on, I think always making sure that there was something outside the relationship that was outside of the transition that was existing in the relationship was really important. And you know, because we also had a relationship that existed for 2 years before this transition took place, so like we had that starting point. And I, for myself, I said that I didn't want to be in a relationship in transition unless it was a relationship that was like stable and had trust already built in and everything, because I didn't see how I could, and this is totally me personally, I didn't think that I could begin a transition and also begin a relationship, because there's a lot, when you're beginning a relationship, there's a lot of like care and thought that needs to be put into it to cultivate like a healthy relationship. You can't do that for something like a transition. I could not do that for something like a transition and a relationship at the same time.
At the same time.
Yeah. And then I also worried about what I just said. Like if I'm starting a new relationship, there's a lot to learn about your partner. And how could you dedicate the time to learning about your partner while also putting in all this time for yourself and learning like your new self and everything. So that was a decision I made, and like I had been very upfront with Blair, like if you don't feel like our relationship is like stable enough to withstand the transition, like we need to talk about that now, because I don't want to have that type of relationship drama taking away from
on like, top of
yeah
what you're already processing.
Yeah, I didn't want it to take away from like my own process, and like part of that was selfish, but like I also felt like I needed to be selfish for this transition, because it was like, this is the one, to me, like this was the one thing that was just all about me, and I really, really needed that as somebody who was not
Never had that before?
Yeah. Yeah. I was never previously in situations where it was all about me. And so this felt super important. And I'm really glad that we did it that way because, like, we're still together.
Right. Shit worked.
Like, yeah. And, like, most importantly, like, our relationship just got better and better. Like, and it continues to just get better and better. Like, even through all of the foul stuff, you know, I've seen so many people talk about how their relationships fell apart during phalloplasty because of complications or even without complications. And obviously that was something I had in my head, but I was like, I'm not willing to let that happen. If it's, if our relationship's going to fall apart, it's not going to
be, because of this.
Yeah. It'll be because of something else. And like, it just, you know, it just continued to get better to the point where, like, you know, we got married last year, like, during all of this shit. So, like, you know, that's kind of how I, that was my ideal vision for how things would work out. Like, I just wanted things to continue to get better, both in transition and in relationship and just in life. And that's what has happened. So, like, and I really do attribute that to, like, my willingness to be open and communicative about things, and also her willingness to, like, listen and be supportive, and also, like, to, like, be detached at times, because there's also a lot that goes on that we, as, like, the person transitioning, don't necessarily understand, and it can become, like, hard to explain or talk about. And so, like, her willingness to just trust that maybe that was just what was going on right now and not take it personally or get worked up, like, all of that comes into, like, that trust that we already built. So I think that made it a lot easier to just, like, you know, move through all of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, be able to focus on yourself while also maintaining a healthy relationship.
Yeah, because, like, that's the thing. Like, I think that we, as the trans people, have every right to be selfish during these transition times and, like, focus on ourselves. But, like, if you're in a relationship, like, you also have to be aware of
there's a responsibility, definitely. Yeah.
Totally, totally. So, like, balancing both of those things, like, being fair to yourself and being fair to the other person. So I really appreciated how Blair was willing to allow that to be okay and to go along on that ride of, like, sometimes the unknown or sometimes, like, the emotional roller coaster, you know, like,
or sometimes just to be like, he's just feeling this way just because, and, like, maybe even, like, you couldn't explain it totally and be okay with that.
Totally. And that happens often. That still happens. Like, there are still days where I'm like, I don't know what I'm feeling, but, like, I'm not feeling like myself. So that's what it is.
I'm not a happy Nash.
Yeah. Not a happy Nash. And, like, you know, that's just where I'm at, and it's okay. And so I think, like, just having the permission both ways, like, for myself and then from her, allows, like, the focus to just continue on myself. So, yeah, the communication.
It's key, like, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, I wish that there was, like, more to, like, say about that, but it's, like, I just really feel like the communication and, like, the trust were just, like, huge, because you just get to just be then. And just allow that.
Right? When you lay it all out on the table.
Yeah, then there's not all the questions or, like, the confusion and stuff. Like, you get to just, like, yeah, just focus, I guess. Like, and I don't know. And I think, like, you know, Blair was really good, and still is, but she's really good at, like, reinforcing how I'm feeling, whether it's positive or negative. Like... And also just reinforcing, like, my identity. So, like, you know, I identify as trans masculine. Like, I identify within the binary. And she has done a really good job of, like, reinforcing that for me. So, like, doing things to make me feel more masculine or, you know, stuff like that. Like, just to little things. Like, just little things, big things, whatever. And that, I think, like, and that's not something we ever discussed. I never said to her, like, I want you to do these things or whatever. It's just something she, I think, just intuitively knew. And that's the benefit of her being intuitive.
Right? It's 'cause she's amazing.
Yeah. But, you know, she's like, yeah, she's really good at picking up on those things and, like, just treating me in a way that she knows I would like to be treated without me having to necessarily say anything. So I think that, like, that goes back to, like, what I was saying about, like, the stable relationship part, where, like, she knew me well enough to know what I would want and need at certain points. Mm-hmm. And like also, you know, calling me out when it was necessary, because like we can also act out, like, you know, like I very much feel like my transition has been very much like a boy going through puberty. Like sometimes I'm yelling for no reason. Sometimes I'm like, you know, throwing my clothes all over the place because I can't figure out how to let my emotions out, and throwing my clothes everywhere is easier. Like mm-hmm. all those things. And like, she does a really good job of knowing when to call me out versus when to like, leave me alone and just let me do what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And those things I think have built like another layer of like trust, like knowing that she's not going to let me get away with shit that I shouldn't be allowed to get away with, but she'll also
like let you feel and process how you want to.
And move through it in the way that I need to move through it. Because sometimes that's also important, is like to just like let us be mm-hmm. and let us do what we need to do, because sometimes we can't really control it any other way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like to use like the hormones as like a cop out or excuse, but the bottom line is we're introducing a new hormone into our body, and our body is going to react weird in some ways, or at some times, you know, and it's going to do it in ways that we don't really understand necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to be okay. And that, you know, again, that was super important for me, to just know that I can feel what I'm feeling as long as it's like safe
mm-hmm.
and that will be okay with her. So yeah, I think just like really being on the same page with things and just like keeping each other like aware of how we're feeling, really helped to just allow things to happen.
And look at you now.
And look at me now.
Do you have anything else or any other examples you like?
No, I can't really think of like examples. I feel like it's just like the overall like communication and shit.
Yeah, know? And just how you like allowed your like yourselves to like process on both ends, kind of.
Yeah, and just to like being willing to mm-hmm. like exist with each other through things that maybe we didn't understand or we didn't have like
expectations and that like for. Be okay.
Yeah, and it's okay, mm-hmm. yeah. Because I think that oftentimes we can get caught up in, like, oh, no, what's happening? I don't understand this, and that's too scary, and then a fight ensues, or, like, the one person, like, shuts down and closes off, like, or whatever. So I think just really just allowing ourselves to just be ourselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, is, like, and that's whether you're transitioning or not. Like, I think that's just important in a relationship.
In a relationship, like, period, yeah.
To just accept like each other wherever they're at, and if you're not willing to do that,
then move on.
That's okay, but maybe it's not the right.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
Nobody's perfect.
That's the truth.
No, it's just like I feel like that's what's good for like something good I learned was like, we're not gonna like everything about each other. Like that's inevitable. You're not gonna like everything about anybody, mm-hmm. but like as long as you can make that. The things you don't like work and exist in your life, like that's, you have to find those ways mm-hmm. to do it. And then it's okay.
I don't even like everything about myself, so I know I'm not going to like yeah. everything about another person.
Exactly, exactly. Like, you know, that's really good.
Thank you everyone for listening to this week's episode of Transitional Wisdom. If you feel you'd like to share your story or if there's a topic you would like us to cover, please email us at nash@transitionalwisdom.org or visit our website, transitionalwisdom.org. And please don't forget to like, share, rate, whatever. It really helps us reach a wider audience of people who may find this helpful. And hey, thanks.
Who knew this would happen? A magic potion could save my heart. Who knew that these feelings had a name? I'm worried.